Jazz, 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station, Jamal Ahmed, and I'm very blessed and honored right now to be joined by a vocalist I have been playing a lot on the Soul of Jazz, and I want to welcome her not only to WCLK, but to Atlanta, coming all the way from upstate New York. I want to welcome Lindsay Webster. How you doing, Lindsay?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good to have you. Glad to see you.
Great to be here. We're
finally meet you.
Yep, that's right.
And we got to show love to Keith in the background.
Yeah, Keith's slaughtering the house.
Yes, who is definitely handling a lot of your business, and he's the reason why I know about you. So thank you so much, Keith, for joining us. Well, I want to talk to you, Lindsay. Like, you're from upstate New York. Is that where you're born and raised?
Pretty much. I was only 2 months old when my parents brought me to Woodstock. So okay. I kind of just say I'm born and raised there, but I was actually born near Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were raised in Woodstock, New York.
Yep, right.
Which, you know, is synonymous with music history for of course, obvious reasons. But talk about growing up there in Woodstock.
Well, Woodstock, you know, has always been a thriving artist town. Every art, music, you know, painters, sculptors, poets, literally any kind of artist. It's just kind of people get drawn to Woodstock when I talk to people. Like, how did you end up here? They say, well, it's just the community, the beautiful mountains, you know. It's like, right, Woodstock sits at the foot of Overlook Mountain. And, you know, it's a part of the Catskill Mountains. Mm. And it's just got a vibe, and people love it. And that's why my parents, that's why we ended up there, you know.
You told me some really interesting history before we started the interview, which I never knew, that the festival, the Woodstock Festival, which is now, you know, not only known only throughout the world, but probably through the universe. But it really didn't happen in Woodstock. I always thought that it happened in Woodstock, but it happened about 70 miles away at another place.
Yeah. Actually, a very popular music venue, Bethel Woods, mm-hmm. now exists where the original festival happened.
Mm.
So big names go there. I mean, you know, Elton John. I saw Elton John there. You know, everybody who's big plays at Bethel Woods now.
Got you.
It's a little different than what it used to look like, though.
Mm.
You know, it's like a big arena kind of thing. When Woodstock happened, it was just a muddy field.
Right.
You know.
Right. And there are a lot of names. There are a lot of musical folk who reside in that town now. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're blessed to just go out and go shopping and run into, you know, like Jack DeJohnette. Donald Fagen from Steely Dan is mm-hmm. from Woodstock. We've actually had the pleasure of playing music with him at the famous Levon Helm Barn.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, such an experience that we were only allowed to have because Woodstock. And, you know, I mean, people like Billy Joel, I mean, Bob Dylan, Janis Joplin, so many, all from that major movement that was happening with Albert Grossman. He was managing all of these artists. Van
right.
Morrison wrote one of his tunes there that's a famous song. I'm not really sure what the song is, but, you know, a lot of history has taken place in Woodstock, and, you know, we're just hoping to be a part of that history, you know?
Well, I guess that leads to you, and I wanted to ask you, so, you know, when I listen to your record, you know, I hear very soulful influence. You know, very warm classic influences that really are counter the Woodstock experience. So how did you get into soul music and playing soul music? Did you start at a young age?
Yeah, I did. You know, Woodstock being an artist community, the Woodstock Elementary School, which is the public school I went to, we had a great arts program. So they, you know, from the third grade, they were like, all right, everybody starts an instrument. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be in chorus or whatever. So I actually have played the cello. I was that was my main thing. And so I spent a lot of my years just learning that kind of music, classical, playing in little, you know, smaller groups, doing like jazz kind of stuff, all different kinds of stuff. And then I just always was singing. Just, you know, I just love to sing. And then, you know, I don't really know that I ever was like, okay, I'm going to be a singer now, like, as a professional. But I just always love to listen to, you know, Mariah Carey, Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, all the big voices.
Was there an aha singer, like, that one singer that made you go, you know what, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, that's Mariah for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
What is it about Mariah?
She can do anything with her voice. It just blows my mind. I've listened to her records, you know, it's probably like tens of thousands of times. It's a little slightly embarrassing, but you know, it's you know, I always joke, I say that Mariah Carey was my vocal teacher because I just would try to emulate her. And you know, I attribute my range, because I can, you know, I have like a four to five octave vocal range. So I can sing really high and I can sing really low, and I attribute that to always, you know, trying to hit her low notes. So yeah, Mariah for me was my idol, you know. And then, you know, once I started listening to a little more, you know, like the older stuff, like Anita Baker, Minnie Riperton, right. Chaka Khan, it's all just so soulful and really, you know, struck me. And I'm always just trying to sound like I got a big voice, you know.
Well, you do. I mean, that was one thing that struck me about the recording was your tone, because I'm a vocal snob, you know. I will honestly say that, because I've been blessed to be around so many great vocalists here in Atlanta. So yeah. You fit right in. You fit right in, and it's ironic that you're actually on Atlanta Records.
That's right. That's cool, right? I love that. I love it.
So it's like you should be here.
I know.
You should be here, and we'll talk about you know, your live show in a little while, but I want to talk to you about absolutely coming to that realization that I need to put out a record, because that's a big step. You know, I've seen so many artists who have been so hesitant in taking that big leap, because, you know, you don't want to fail, you don't want to trip. But when did you make that decision that, you know what, I need to record and I need to put out a debut?
Well, I met Keith in 2009. And we started playing together. We started writing music shortly after that. And we had about five or six songs written. And we had the opportunity to record a record. And, you know, we knew we wanted to. We didn't know what the first step was going to be, because, you know, it costs a lot of money. And it takes a lot of time and, you know, discipline to put a record out. So we had an opportunity to get into the studio, because we were recording a record with another band that was only going to use 8 hours a day of the 24 hours allotted. So we jumped on the extra, 16 hours, and we worked on our record. We brought in a band. So it was like the perfect scenario. That was record number one, which is actually half original material, half songs written by friends of ours. No covers that you know, songs just by friends of ours. You know, that's that record. And we were we're happy with that record. You know, it sounds great. Keith did amazing production on our first album. And then, you know, we kept writing, kept playing, knew we were going to put out a second album, didn't know how or what. And then the stars aligned and we got signed to Atlanta, and we had actually recorded the bass tracks for the second album about a year and a half before that. So being signed actually kind of put a fire under us and made us, you know, here it is. It's finally out. But putting an album out is just such that's who you are. Like, the moment that's who you are as an artist, you know. And like you said, a lot of people kind of, maybe that scares them to have something like, here it is. But, you know, we just do it with an open heart, and we just write music that really is who we are.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just doing our best. So
and there has to be a quiet joy in being independent, because there are no constraints to, I mean, you look at like someone like Mariah Carey, and she was always under industry constraints to create hits, and you got this number one, well, you got to follow that up with another number one. But with your records, it just seems like you went into the studio and let your heart out poured your heart out on the microphone.
Yeah, that's what, you know, it's hard sometimes to like get into that frame of mind for me when I'm recording my vocals. So, you know, you always want to give that performance that really is going to make people want to listen to the song, you know, because like, you know, for there are some of my favorite songs where like, you know, somebody's voice maybe cracks a little, or you can really feel that they're pouring their heart into that one note, and you want to hear it over and over again just because of that one part. And you know, so I always tried to get into that frame of mind of giving an honest performance.
Right, right. Well, you know, speaking of performance, I mean, I listen to the record, and every time I hear a record, you know, I have ears to translate it into a live setting. And your music translates perfectly to a live setting. How have your shows been going since the release of your latest album, You Change?
They've been going great. You know, we had our pre-album release at Daryl's house up in Pauling, New York.
With Daryl Hall?
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he opened a great venue that a lot of great artists are playing at, and we're lucky enough to be,
He has a show, actually.
Yeah, he has his live show, which the venue actually is designed by the look of his house.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, like he just literally opened up his living room and invited musicians to come in. And he put the cameras and everything like that. And so he modeled the venue to look just like the house.
Mm.
So it was pretty cool. They actually filmed the show from there now.
Okay.
He was like, get out of my house.
Yeah. I've seen, like, okay, you're messing up my carpet. My carpet bill is crazy because all you guys.
Yeah.
But that's a great start. That's a great way to kind of put the album out and kick it off.
Yeah, we sold a lot of CDs that night. We had an incredible energy. There are some shows where you just walk off stage and you're buzzing for, I was on that high for like 3 days. I'm feeling so good after that show. And and then we had our first official album release was at the Falcon, which is like a very beautiful venue in New York in Marlboro, which is, you know, like an hour and a half north of the city.
Okay.
And so we had a great show there. And, you know, we're having another show. You know, all these, we call them CD release parties, but all these shows are just supporting, you know, the release of the album.
Right.
So in a couple of weeks, we have another show at Helsinki Hudson, which is another awesome venue. We're so lucky to be playing these places.
Really?
It's really awesome for us, you know.
So are you guys moving closer and closer to doing something in the big city in New York?
We've done our shows in New York City. We're, you know, just trying to figure out the right plan of action. We want to play, we want to get an opening up for some bigger people, so we're not playing at the little, like, you know, places where maybe people aren't even listening, you know.
Right.
We just want to kind of skip that step and hopefully, you know, make some good shows happen down there. Yeah.
Well, it's just about talking with folks.
Yeah.
Making some connections.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and after you get that straight, you'll bring that down to Atlanta and bless us with something.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking with Kari about, you know, putting some shows together down here. You know, maybe with like Rafael Pereira.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because we can't really bring our band down yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And plus, we're happy to play with Kari. I mean,
we've got some of the best musicians down here. So
I know.
You'll be in good hands.
Yeah. So we're excited. And, you know, that'll give us a little different maybe sound, even their interpretation of our music will, you know, bring the little Atlanta vibe to it.
Well, I guess that'll be the final step for you here in Atlanta. You've done everything. As far as the promotions and going to the retail, and now you hear the radio. So that'll be the final step, is doing a performance here in Atlanta. And then I guess the next thing will be moving.
We, you know, we're looking at rentals right now. So
they are everywhere. It's a good time to do that. Well, you know what? I appreciate you so much for coming on down. I wish we could keep you here longer. But thank you so much for coming out and putting out this great record, you and Keith. I've put out this wonderful record. And if people want to find out more information about you, how can they do so online?
You can type into your web browser, lindseywebstermusic.com. And that will bring you to my website where you can find our, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You could write us an email. You could buy our album, you know, all that good stuff.
All right. Well, kudos to you on this new project. It's getting a lot of love online. I saw a really nice write-up on Soul Tracks about it. So big up to you on this one. And we look forward to having you, God willing, here in Atlanta to do a performance.
Yes. Hopefully.
Sooner than later.
Yeah, sooner than later. Yep.
All right. Well, you have a good one, Lindsey Webster. And have a great stay while you're here, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right.